It's time!
Shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal, number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Perfect person to join us, given our conversation about the future of the goaltending position for the Nashville Predators. C. Mays, Chris Mason joins us now. C. Mays, we were just kind of debating, what's the best path forward for the Nashville Predators at the goaltending position? Barry Trotz has several big decisions to make in this offseason and moving forward and addressing the key question of how to make the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender. You know, sign Saros this offseason, trade Saros, go into the regular season and reevaluate Saros' contract either at the trade deadline or after the season. And of course, the Askarov aspect of all of this as well is an important part of, you know, building the future of the Predators. So what do you think is the best path forward for the Predators at that goalie position?
Well, I'm pro Saros, just to keep him. And if they're going to, you know, they want to bring Askarov up, I think that'd be beneficial for him to play with UC Saros. You know, I've heard a lot of talk that, you know, on with you guys and other places that, you know, Askarov has dominated the American Hockey League. And that's simply not the case. I mean, I think we get caught up in watching all these brilliant highlights on Twitter and say, oh my God, look, can you imagine this in Nashville? And one day it may be like that. There's no denying he's got an elite skill set. There's no denying that. But he doesn't have an elite brain right now for the NHL. And that's no knock on him. That's just experience. That's learning the efficiency that it takes to be consistent in this league, to be a star goaltender. And if you put somebody in a situation where they're not ready for as a young goaltender, it could really hinder his development. And that's the biggest thing I worry about with him, because he's such an elite talent, is you can't rush it. I get the urgency to do that. And a lot of the solutions, you know, I've heard you guys sit out there, sign somebody like Talbot or bring Lankinen back and all these types of things. Well, I don't know if that's the solution either. I think if you're on pro trade Saros, you know, team, when are you going to get the most value for? You have to know who you're going to trade him to, who you're going to get back. I've heard first rounder and a prospect. Well, who's that going to be? Is it a 10th round pick? Is it, or sorry, 10th overall? Is it a 15th overall? What prospect do you get? Are you getting a kid in the minors, a kid that's drafted, a kid that's, you know, playing in the NHL right now on a team where he's not getting, you know, enough ice time? There's so much that needs to be, you know, figured out in that regard. And then when are you going to do it? When does he hold the most value? Does he hold the most value at the draft? A team's not just going to trade for him on 1 year. It's going to be a trade and sign. Can they get a contract worked out? So Saros doesn't have a no movement clause, but if it's that's part of the deal, he'll have some say whether that trade goes through or not. Or is it at the trade deadline, you don't sign him and you go with Askarov and Saros to start the year? Saros is on an expiring contract, which is obviously team friendly, 1 year. If a team's going to make a run at the cup, you just go ahead and make a run at the cup and you try to get UC Saros at the deadline. Does he hold more value there? Or what I would rather do is you've got a surefire top 3-5 goaltender, however you want to cut it. He's a superstar. He is, you know, he is like a McDavid. He is like a, you know, a Rantanen and a McKinnon. He is in that category of goaltender. Whether you talk about his playoff success or lack of, well, quite honestly, he hasn't had a really team that's, you know, that I consider a team that could be really successful in the playoffs. You know, Vasilevsky is probably one of the best goalies. He hasn't, you know, barely done anything in playoffs the last couple of years. You know, do you get rid of him? You know, Bobrovsky had done nothing in his entire career in playoffs until last year. He goes to the final and all of a sudden he's, you know, considered an elite goaltender and back in that conversation. It's just to put you know, all that on one player of a team's success just doesn't work for me as an argument. So I'm pro keeping Saros and signing him. Would it change your guys' mind? What if you could sign Saros for a team-friendly deal of, you know, let's say, you know, $7 million per year? And I heard you guys talking yesterday about how that seven or let's say $8 million in 4 or 3 years, it's going to be like a $5 million, $6 million contract now because of the cap and all those types of things. But that's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same. Well, I know I'm in the same place in regards to UC Soros. I think C. Mace. We're talking with Chris Mace and Nashville Predators, play-by-play, one half of the play-by-play on television, along with Willie Donick. And this is what I've been trying to sort of weigh with UC Soros in a scar off. Is he ready to, in your mind, is he ready to play the type of games that Lankinen played this past season? Because this team, you're still building this team. So this team is going to still be fighting to enter the playoffs. And once they get in the playoffs, they're going to be fighting, you know, to win, you know, the series, because maybe they don't have that top line forward or center that everybody's screaming they need to go get. So to me, is Askarov ready in your mind to play those 25 tough games that Lankinen had to play this season?
I don't think he is. I think that he has definitely earned a chance to compete for a backup job, for a job in the NHL. I think he's got, you know, that talent. I mean, the people that are saying he's dominated the American League, I was pretty much a career backup goalie. I had better seasons in the American League than Yaroslav Askarov did this year in terms of save percentage, all that. And then you have to say, well, Troy Grosnick dominated the American League, you know, with his statistics. He finished 17th in the American Hockey League in save percentage. I'm not denying his talent. I know. He's one of these guys. The first time I watched him, I just could not believe, you know, what he's able to do athletically. He's a gifted athlete, one of the best skill sets I've ever seen. But he's got to figure some things out about the mental part of the game, about managing those skills, about not being as super aggressive in all these situations. There's a lot of things that go in to being a good goaltender in the American League and then being a good goaltender in the National Hockey League. And for a young goaltender, this is why mentally it is the biggest thing. His skills are undeniable. There's no denying. But if his development is hindered in a negative way mentally, you could derail what his potential could be. And that's why you have to be extremely careful with a goaltender. Get him up here with UC Soros. You see the work ethic, the amount of detail that goes into every part of his game. Somebody that's established, he's a top guy. He's not going to be, you know, coming up there saying, hey, I'm better than Talbot or Lankinen and I'm going to take over the job. That dynamic is extremely important. And I think we often overlook what that means to this situation and the relationship. It's good for Soros, whether, you know, it's going to push him. He's like, oh, here's a young stud coming in. You know, here's some competition here and, you know, all those types of things. But I think if you're just looking at Askarov, what is best for him and to get him to the point where he's going to be, you know, reach his highest potential possible, I think that move is bring him to the NHL with UC Soros. And you know, I don't think any of the other situations, Kevin Lankin's unbelievable guy. I think that could potentially work, but then you've got some stuff to work out with him. He's the number one guy now. How does he handle that? Is he going to be as effective in that role as he was, you know, as a backup? Maybe. We don't know. You know, that's a question mark. Then it all of a sudden creeps into some uncertainty in your goaltending situation. If Askarov comes up and, you know, he's not playing well in that situation, and then you have two guys that you really don't know. And I'm not saying that, you know, is going to happen, but it's definitely a possibility. And I can tell you, you do not want to be in that situation.
Chris Mason is with us. Mace, a lot of people have made this point that, hey, Vancouver just beat the Predators using their third goalie for part of the series. Maybe you can help shed light on, because I think it's analogous to a pitcher or somebody in a postseason series rising to the occasion in a short period of time. Because I think Askarov probably could have done what Shelovs is doing. He's talented enough to do it. But the difference in that versus performing over a six-month period where you have to have the consistency?
Yeah, that's you see all those stories all the time. I mean, Aiden Hill won the Stanley Cup, and, you know, you've had, Chicago won some cups without some top goaltenders. It's how your team is individually constructed, where you put your assets. I think Shelov's, quite honestly, did a remarkable job. But if I'm being honest, and I watched all the other series, he didn't get the quality of shot. The Vancouver Canucks do not give up the quality of shot. So they protect their guys. And I'm not knocking him at all. I mean, as your goalie, the only thing you can control is stopping the pucks that get shot at you. You know, it's not your fault if you don't get great scoring chances against you. But, you know, he's in a situation, any goaltender who plays for Vancouver, you're probably going to be statistically pretty good over the season, you know, in a playoff series in a short amount of time. When they're especially locking it down the way that they were, you're probably going to have, you know, some sort of success. And he did. And, you know, he looked a bit human against Edmonton, which is, a powerhouse offensive team. They ended up winning the game. They came back in a remarkable game. But, I mean, you are a product of your environment. And for a guy like Shelov, hey, he's in a great environment right now, and good for him.
Why do you think, because I think this is another point that people probably don't absorb as easily, because they see in other sports a guy that's 22 or 23 excelling. But the goaltender position, why do you think it takes until your mid-20s in many cases, sometimes even more? I think Pekka didn't start winning games really consistently until he was about 27 in the league. Why does it take goalies longer?
It's the magnitude and the pressure of the position. And, you know, it's just historically forwards can come in. There's less responsibility. You're protected. You're covered by, you know, your defenseman. There's four people behind you. You can turn pucks over and, hey, you know, we're letting him learn on the fly and we're going to develop him. He's got the skill. You can kind of work those things out in the National Hockey League and still be okay. And your team will be okay. When you're an 18-year-old defenseman or 19-year-old defenseman, you don't necessarily have that luxury either. It takes a longer time, typically, to develop defensemen. You need some time in the minors. You need to play. You need to play top minutes. You know, you need to be in all those situations because you have more responsibility in the game. The outcome can be determined by your mistakes in the hockey game. There's more pressure there. Physically, you need to be stronger as a defenseman in these situations. And as a goaltender, that's the ultimate pressure in a hockey, in a position. You're an individual position in a team sport where it really falls on you. You have no control. You can't go out and make anything happen. You have to sit there. Everything that happens in front of you has to come to you. It's I don't know if there's any other position like it in sports. And if you fail, as a young player, and you continually fail, and you can be, your whole career could be derailed, or you'll never reach your potential. We've seen it with so many guys. I mean, I remember when Carter Hart came up, he had played a few good games, and he was like, oh, look at Carter Hart. He's amazing. Well, he lost his job. He's been up and down. He's had some good stretches. And, you know, there's goalies, you know, you talked about Devin Levi. He came up, oh, look at Devin Levi. He's the next, you know, greatest thing. All of a sudden he starts the season just awful. Now he goes down. Talk about a guy that's dominated in the American League. He yep. went down and dominated the American League this year. But, you know, and he's a little bit older, I think. Or is he right around the same age?
He's 22, 23. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the same age. And again, it's situationally to these guys, but you just have to be careful. And, you know, Askarov's got two NHL games under his belt. He did, I would say, okay. There's just a lot of work left to be done. I know people say, well, how is he going to get the experience without getting the experience? He definitely needs the experience. He's definitely ready, you know, skill-wise to maybe take that next step. And it'd be so beneficial for him to see and to go on the ice every single day with UC Saros and Ben Vanderklok, and kind of just that was the most powerful thing for me when I was, you know, and I'm no talent, like Askarov, I know that, but for me to get better was I was on the ice with Thomas Vokoun and Mitch Korn and these great guys, and my level, my curve of development just skyrocketed because I'm like, holy crap, okay. You know, I'm watching this guy who's an amazing goaltender, who's got a lot more, skill and control and all these different types of things in his game. And I'm learning him from Mitch, who, you know, helped, teach Thomas Vokoun and all these guys, Dominic Hasek. And I just think for someone that is as talented as Yaroslav Askarov, you have to be careful. You can't rush this kid. There's no point. And I know everybody wants to draft picks, and they seem to want to move on and get everything you can for Saros, who is a top three goaltender in the league, in my opinion. He had a down year, so it's easy to jump on him this year. But I don't think that's the answer, personally. I think UC Saros needs to be here, and I think Yaroslav Askarov needs to be here.
CMAs, nobody knows the position better than you, so we appreciate your insight and appreciate you for joining us. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, CMAs. Let's react to that. We also have some thoughts on the Saros and future of the Nashville Predators and the goaltending position debates. We are right to you coming up next. Caroline Billy D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.